Good day, students enrolled for FAC 1601, and welcome to 2012. Want to wish you guys all the best of luck for this semester studies. Welcome to the podcast series of FAC 1601 Financial Accounting Reporting. My name is Andre Eisley and I'm one of your lecturers. The purpose of this podcast is to give you a brief overview of what we as lecturers will focus on during the first part of the discussion classes to be held across all major UNISA centers in South Africa. The details pertaining to the dates and venue of both Part 1 and Part 2 of discussion classes are to be found in Tutorial Letter 104. The breakdown of Part 1 discussion classes. Here with a breakdown of what we will discuss in the first part of discussion classes to be held at the respective venues. Recent changes in study material, study units that will be covered in Part 1 of the discussion classes, and the study program. Let us now discuss the mentioned topics. Number 1. Recent changes in study material. Please note that in December 2010, the International Accounting Standard Board, ISB, issued a revised conceptual framework for international financial reporting standards, called IFRS. The ISB further published amendment to IS1, Presentation of Financial Statements, in June 2011. In line with these changes, Study Unit 1, 5 and 6 of the study guide has been replaced with a Tutorial Letter 102, which has been sent. These changes also require that all references to the Statement of Comprehensive Income in all study material be changed to Statement of Profit or Loss and Other Comprehensive Income. It is therefore also necessary to obtain the latest edition of the prescribed textbook about Financial Accounting Volume 2, which includes all the necessary changes. The new Companies Act No. 71 of 2008 came into effect on May 2011. The introduction of the new Companies Act created new arrangements in which companies and close corporations will be regulated in South Africa after this date. Please also note that the new Companies Act removed the restriction on the maximum members of partners in a partnership. Due to no limitation that is mentioned, it is assumed that an undetermined number of partners can be admitted. Number 2. Study Units. The following study units 1 to 5 will be covered in the first discussion classes. Study Unit 1. Introduction to the Preparation of Financial Statements. It consists basically of the following. These are the statements that are required by IS1. It consists of Statement of Profit or Loss and Other Comprehensive Income. Please remember this amendment to the Statement of Other Comprehensive Income. You have to mention now that it's Statement of Profit or Loss and Other Comprehensive Income. Number 2, Statement of Financial Position, Statement of Changes in Equity, Statement of Cash Flows, and Notes to the Financial Statements. The purpose of this study unit is to explain the key concepts regarding the preparation and presentation of financial statements according to the conceptual framework of financial reporting and international accounting standards, and you need to understand these concepts to be able to complete and to be successful in this module. Please also note that you need to understand these concepts and not merely memorize them, as theory will never be tested, but the principles will be tested in the way of practical scenarios and questions. Please refer to Chapter 1 of the prescribed textbook. Study Unit 2, Establishment and Financial Statements of a Partnership. The definition of a partnership can be described as a legal relationship created by an agreement between two or more natural persons. In this agreement, each person called a partner contributes cash, merchandise, property, plant, equipment, or expertise to the entity for the purpose of conducting a lawful business and making a profit, which is then divided amongst the partners in a pre-arranged ratio according to common law principles. A partnership is an accounting entity and not a legal entity. A partnership does not pay tax, but the partners pay tax in their personal capacity. In our model, we follow the legal approach towards accounting for partnerships. The partners and partnerships are treated as the same legal entity. The partners are the owners of the partnership and can therefore not employ themselves. Salaries, bonuses, and commissions to partners, interest on current and capital accounts and drawings are an appropriation of the profit of a partnership and not an operating expense, and thus will be disclosed in the Statement of Changes in Equity. Appropriation account is a final account which is used to appropriate the profit or loss of the partnership at the end of the financial year to the partners according to the predetermined profit-sharing ratio stipulated in the partnership agreement. Please refer to Chapter 2 of the prescribed textbook. Study Unit 3, Changes in the Ownership Structure of Partnerships. In this study unit, a change in ownership structure of a partnership is regarded as a change in a contractual relationship between the partners of a partnership which affect the profit-sharing ratio of the partners. The following changes can occur: when a partner is admitted to a partnership, when a partner retires or dies, or when the profit-sharing ratio of the partners changes. Here were the following steps to be taken when there is a change in the ownership structure. Step 1. In FIC 1601, we will follow the legal perspective of accounting for the change in ownership, of which means that each partnership is regarded as a separate business entity and that the activities of these partnerships are therefore separately recorded. Step 2. We will record any valuation adjustments. Step 3. We will account for goodwill, of which means future economic benefits arising from assets that are not capable of being individually identified and separately recognized. Step 4. We will calculate the new profit sharing ratio. Step 5. The current partners will then be dissolved according to the legal approach. Step 6. The new partnership will be formed according to the legal approach. Please refer to Chapter 3 of the textbook as well as Example 3.10. Study Unit 4, the liquidation of a partnership. The liquidation of a partnership implies that the assets must be converted into cash, assets must be liquidated or realized, the liability settled, and the remaining cash paid to partners according to the balances of the capital accounts. The liquidation is a form of dissolution which results in the termination of the business activities thereof. There are two methods according to which a partnership can be liquidated, namely, simultaneous liquidation occurs when the assets of a partnership are sold, liquidated simultaneously over a relatively brief period. A single liquidation account is prepared to determine the net profit or loss made on the liquidation of the entire partnership. Any remaining cash is distributed to the partners according to their capital account balances. Please refer to textbook 4.1 as an example. The second method of partnership can be liquidated is piecemeal liquidation. Assets are sold in a piecemeal fashion and available for cash is first used to settle liabilities. And once the liabilities have been paid in full, the remaining cash is paid to the partners. A number of liquidation accounts are prepared to determine the profit or loss made via the piecemeal liquidation. Please refer to textbook 4.6 as an example. Both methods can be asked in any examination. 2.5 Study Unit 5. Close Corporations. The main objectives of this study unit are to provide an overview of the Close Corporations Act in respect of the attributes, internal and external relations, accounting records and financial statements, joint liability of members and other for certain debts of close corporations, tax position of a close corporation and its members, as well as the deregistration of a close corporation. A comprehensive example in respect of the preparation of the financial statement of a close corporation according to the provision of the Close Corporations Act and the requirements of IFRS. The New Companies Act No. 71 of 2008 came into effect on 1 May 2011 and introduced certain amendments that impacted the existence of close corporations. These amendments include, amongst others, the discontinuation of registration of new close corporations with effect from 1 May 2011. Existing close corporations will, however, continue to exist under the Close Corporations Act as amended until such time their members decide to convert to any other form of business entity. Study Program. A detailed study program is made available for you in Tutorial Letter 101. This will greatly assist you in successfully completing this module. Now to conclude, another separate podcast will be made available to inform you with the details that will be lectured during Part 2 of the discussion classes. Once a new podcast has been uploaded to MyUNISA, you will receive an announcement via MyUNISA. Thus, please visit MyUNISA to check for new podcasts. We wish you everything of the best with your studies and are confident that if you work hard and consistently adhering to the study program, you will be successful in this module. Hope to see you all at the various centers. Cheers.